Welcome to this special live coverage of Wisconsin's fall primary election on your local Civic Media radio station.
You cast your ballot. Now News Director Terry Bell, along with local reporters around the state, are tracking the results. You'll also get insight into those numbers you won't find anywhere else.
Special fall primary election coverage live on your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app. Now, here's News Director Terry Bell.
Good evening. After months of anticipation, the first act of the big election of 2024 is upon us, the primary election night here in Wisconsin. The polls closed just a few minutes ago, and over the course of the next couple of hours or so, we will be bringing you the results as they come with us. So we have three major things we're keeping track of tonight, and a lot of very other interesting races and ballot items. First of all would be the referendum, that is, constitutional amendments, proposed constitutional amendments in Wisconsin to amend the Constitution. A proposal has to pass the legislature in two separate sessions. Then it goes to voters. And this is what's happening today in Wisconsin, where voters are being asked to amend the Constitution, which would essentially allow the state legislature, not the governor, to allocate money that comes to Wisconsin from Washington. Also, we're keeping an eye on two U.S. House primaries, one in the 3rd District, where three Democrats are running for the right to oppose a Republican incumbent, Derek Van Orden. And then in northeastern Wisconsin, three Republicans are running in Mike Gallagher's former seat. It's an open seat, and the winner of tonight's primary will face Kristen Lierley in the general election in November. I'm News Director Terry Bell of Civic Media, and I'm joined by Todd Albaugh of The Todd Albaugh Show, and by Dr. Maurice Shepherd, a political scientist at Madison College. Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening, Terry.
Good evening.
Well, let's first of all kind of give a breakdown on what we will be following tonight, the big picture.
Terry, this is an exciting night. The polls are closed now. It's now gone just on 8 minutes past the hour of 8 o'clock. And for so many people, I worked in Republican politics for a number of years before leaving the party in 2011. I've run a lot of campaigns from almost dog catcher, but alderman, all the way up to a congressional candidate. And for all these people in primaries tonight, both Republicans and Democrats, their staff, their volunteers, their family, tonight is what it's all about. They put their blood, sweat, and tears into this, and tonight's the night for a lot of these people. There are also primaries for our listeners out there that you're going to hear, particularly, say, in Dane County, some places in Milwaukee County on the Democratic side, maybe a couple of Republican primaries where there is no challenger in the general election. So basically, tonight is for all the marbles because they're not going to face a challenger in the fall. So it's a very exciting night for them and also for the parties. You've seen the change at the top of the ticket for Democrats, Kamala Harris, now the standard bearer for the Democratic Party. It is enthused Democrats in this state. Tonight, are Republicans who make it through the primary, are they going to be able to match that going into the general election?
Maurice Shepherd, you follow these things for a living. What are you keeping an eye on tonight?
Well, it's to follow Todd's point. It isn't the sexiest thing, but election administration with the new maps. I know. No one saw that one coming. Yeah. No, but I mean, with the new maps, we have, once again, new polling places. People have to make sure they know where those are. The drop boxes are back. New polling workers and also new voters. So there's a lot of sort of behind the scene things that have to take place, but they're all very important.
Maurice, you watch these things, as Terry said, so very closely. One thing I'm interested in tonight, see what your take on this, these constitutional amendments tonight. Many people on the Democratic side are encouraging voters to vote no today at the polls. More conservative Republican folks are saying vote yes tonight. To me, a lot of this is going to depend, such as Dane County, where there's a big primary for the state Senate and state assembly and county executive. Does that drive up votes in particularly Democratic areas? By the same token, in places like the Fox Valley, Green Bay, and the 8th District, where there's a big congressional primary, does that drive up more conservative voters in that part of the state? Maurice, do you think these constitutional amendments will come down to where turnout is the highest based on partisan primaries?
The short response to that is yes. But I also think with these proposed amendments, just word of mouth and even sort of walking around neighborhoods, you see lawn signs sort of, you know, alerting people to these amendments. And I think for the amendments, and I know we'll talk about it later at some point, for most regular citizens and voters, they're confused by them, quite frankly. In some cases, it isn't that they're pro or con the amendments. It's simply that they're very vague and they don't really understand what they're voting on. So turnout will be a factor, but also I think sort of the clarity or unclarity of the amendments will play a role also.
I want to bring Melissa Kay in from Civic Media News. She is following this particular ballot item for us tonight. And one thing that occurred to me, Melissa, is much has been made about the point that Maurice just made and Todd, that the wording of these questions are very confusing, and that's probably no accident.
No. In fact, officials are saying that it's done on purpose. You know, our Wisconsin Constitution was drafted in 1848, and the executive branch has had sole power to execute all the federal funds that come to our state for the last 94 years, since 1930. Now, the legislature tried to pass a bill that of what you saw on the Wisconsin ballots today as a bill in 2023, but Governor Evers vetoed it. Now, the legislature purposely chose to include these their failed bill as constitutional amendment questions on this August ballot because there's usually a much lower turnout during a partisan primary election. So therefore, a very small portion of the Wisconsin voters will be deciding to make this change to our Constitution. They estimate mid-teens to upper 20% of turnout for these types of elections that take place in August. And if these constitutional amendments pass, the state legislature will have the power to delay or deny federal funds to Wisconsin based on their partisan interests or partisan gridlock. We're all aware of how often the legislature meets. They were in session from January 13th to March 14th of this year, which is 43 days. And if we have a moment, Terry, can I briefly mention the partisan state funds that are still being held up or recently were just let
yes,
go in the legislature? Mm-hmm. Opioid funds, increases in state aid for special education, compensation for executive branch employees, hospital service grants to Western Wisconsin to help with the recent closure of all those hospitals, $125 million for PFAS funding and other major environmental issues. The government had to sue to have those funds recently released. So if these amendments pass, our legislature is going to have the power to hold those funds, and they're purposely ambiguous. Like they're very confusing. Honestly, when I went to vote today, I was already planning to vote no, but I read them and I second guessed myself, and I already knew how I was voting, but I read them and then I was like, what did I just read?
Yeah, and that may be, and Todd and Maurice, you can tell me if this might be the case, but it's my understanding that roughly constitutional amendments pass 75% of the time, I think, give or take a few points. I'll
defer to the professor on the statistics.
Well, what I will say, I don't know about that particular statistic, but this is a rarity in terms of having, at least for this election cycle, this number of constitutional amendments. I think doing some research before the show, back in 1978 and also 1982, those were sort of the high watermarks of, again, sort of constitutional, proposed constitutional amendments. So and it's only back in 1993 that we had four within one, once again, sort of election cycle here. So this is a rarity. We don't usually have this many, again, amendments put before the people.
Well, and one thought that occurred to me, you know, the confusing language of the questions and the fact that voters approve constitutional amendments somewhere in the 70 percentile of the time. I guess my point is that we're perhaps the lawmakers that put this on the ballot counting on the fact or counting on the notion that voters would vote yes because they are inclined to do that when these questions appear on the ballot.
Just to follow up to Todd's point earlier, though, you made a great point about, again, that for the Republicans, this is a strategic move. For part, they may have felt that, you know, with the special primary election, if you were in the third district, that that would turn out more Republicans, hopefully. But that could be countered, as Todd pointed out, with maybe the turnout in the Madison area.
And we've seen these constitutional amendments be proposed more and more often, as seen as the term is end run around the governor. If there's a proposal that lawmakers know Governor Evers will veto, then they'll, you know, take their chances with the voters and try to get an initiative, enacted that way.
Yeah, I mean, I can certainly tell you, again, somebody who left the Republican Party in 2011, spent most of all my time in the legislature in the state Senate, and I can tell you even then, and now we're over 10 years ago from that point, Republicans were looking at the state of Wisconsin and saying, look, our platform is – we're having a tougher time connecting with 50% plus one of the electorate in a statewide election. And that's why you had the so-called voter ID bills, which in my opinion were nothing more than voter suppression bills. It's quite frankly why I left the Republican Party. But they were making it more difficult for folks, particularly black and brown folks in Milwaukee and college campuses and Madison, to get to the polling places. That was because, to your point, Terry, they were having a harder time winning these statewide elections. And now we have these constitutional amendments to try to take, in my opinion, based on past performance, Republicans trying to take power away from a governor or the executive because they're having a tougher time winning that statewide election and putting it in the hands, even with new maps, which some of these people are running on for the first time tonight. Chances are Republicans will probably hang on to at least one of the houses of the legislature after November, and that's where Republicans are putting their marbles.
Yeah, that actually makes sense. That aligns with everything that I've been observing after, you know, covering the last full session of the state legislature. That seems to be the strategy. Dr. Shepard? Melissa, go ahead.
Terry, if I could. Also, the way that question one is worded, I mean, it says the Constitution should be created to provide that the legislature may not delegate its sole power to determine how monies will be appropriated. It doesn't specify what monies. So it seems that if this passes and it becomes part of our Constitution, inevitably things are going to end up going to court because it will be questioned. Well, what monies are we talking about? You know, after they use this the first time, they're going to have to look into, and it's going to tie up things even more. I mean,
yeah, excellent point. So we're going to be keeping a close eye on that. Melissa will be keeping us up to date on the results on that. Coming up, we're going to hear about the congressional primaries happening the 8th, the 3rd, and the 7th. Listening to Civic Media Election Night coverage, the fall primary in Wisconsin. Thanks so much for joining us. Excuse me. Todd Albaugh.
I'll take over for just a second, Terry. Terry, the election's coming so fast and furious, Terry lost his breath. It's an exciting night here at primary election headquarters, world headquarters of Civic Media, high atop State Street, a block off the Capitol Square. Give me a couple of results, Terry, already in. These are very, very early with less than 1% of the vote in right now. Eric Hovde, he actually has the Republican side, believe it or not, a Republican primary for the United States Senate. He leading Charles Barman right now, 91% to 5.2%. Again, just a couple of percentage points in thus far. Tammy Baldwin, the Democratic incumbent, she is declared the winner because she's unopposed. Also, Brian Stile, Republican congressman in the first, has no opposition. He has been declared the victor there. And Peter Barca, making a comeback bid here. He is unopposed to the Democratic primary, and he has already been declared the winner because the write-ins, believe it or not, Terry, didn't knock him off.
Hard to believe that.
Hard to believe it.
Thanks for pitching in there for me.
Of course.
I appreciate that. So let's move on to the congressional primaries happening in Wisconsin today. We'll start with Brittany Merlot, who's keeping an eye on the Democrats running in northern Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District. Hey, Brittany.
Hey. So, yeah, the 7th Congressional District, right, is the largest in the state. I mean, geographically, it covers 20 counties in northwest and central Wisconsin, and we've got the Democrats vying right now. So Elsa Duranzo from Merrill is trying to face Kyle Kilborn of Harshaw. And basically what's going on there is they're going to be taking on Republican Tom Tiffany and whoever wins that. But he's been holding the seat for quite some time, since 2020. And before that, prior Republican Sean Duffy held 5 terms.
Very good. So, Brittany, thank you so much for keeping an eye on that, on those races, on that race in particular. What else are you following tonight?
So I'm also following the 35th Assembly, where we have incumbent Calvin Callahan facing off Todd Mayer of Antigo. And, of course, in November, that'll take on Elizabeth McCrank, who's a Democratic from Merrill. But the interesting one is the 87th Assembly District, right? So incumbent Pat Snyder was redrawn out of his district by just a mile and a half. He has now since moved to the 85th district. So now we have Brent Jacobson, a Republican, and Corey Sillers, a Republican, taking on either whoever wins from that would be taking on William Switala as well. So,
very good. Thank you very much. Brittany Merlot keeping an eye on the 7th U.S. House race on the Democratic side and a few other state house races. We want to bring in Lisa Hale now. She is covering the Republicans running in northeastern Wisconsin. This is the seat that Mike Gallagher gave up when he resigned from the U.S. House. And it's an open seat. We will have a brand new U.S. representative from the 8th District on November, no matter who wins. And Lisa, this race is interesting for a number of reasons, but we'll let you tell us more.
There's a couple of reasons, but I think the most important thing about this race is that it's actually on the ballot twice. The first time it's on the ballot is to complete the term of Mike Gallagher, because he originally said, I'm not running for re-election. And we knew that that term would be open from the 2025 to 2027. But then he said, you know what? I'm leaving early. I'm resigning. And that left the remainder of this current term open. And that's what the first part of the ballot is. It's to replace him or to fill the remainder of his term. And then they're voting for the same candidates to fill the term. So I think that's probably the most interesting part of the 8th Congressional District races.
Lisa, I think that you bring up such an important point. This has been debated, because right now there's been a couple of deaths in Congress. It was basically tied even. Republicans now have a couple of seat majority again. But this is important, this point you just brought up, because let's say that it's a one seat margin either way. By Gallagher doing what he did and Governor Evers calling that dual election, to your point, Lisa, let's say that Kristen Lierley would knock off and be the unexpected win for Democrats and pick up that seat. She would not have to wait, nor would the Republican for that matter, until the term coming up in January to be seated. They would be seated immediately, and that could have major consequences. Guess when? January 6, 2025.
Absolutely.
Another interesting thing about this race, I think, Lisa, is that this might be a good litmus test as to Donald Trump's power with Republicans in Wisconsin. We saw him lose about 20% of the Republican vote in the primary last spring. 20% of Republicans voted for somebody else in that primary other than Donald Trump. Now, he has endorsed one of the candidates in this race, and a lot of people are interested to see whether the Trump endorsement carries a lot of weight or not.
He did. He endorsed Tony Weed, who is a Green Bay area businessman. He owned a couple of convenience stores, the Dino Marts, and he endorsed Tony Weed, who has been standing on that platform of the Trump endorsement throughout this campaign. But he's also facing State Senator Andre Jacques and former State Senator Roger Roth. Neither of those have the Trump endorsements, but they are very conservative legislators.
And I understand Roth probably has been spending a lot more on television, and that Andre Jacques has been really working hard doing the old-fashioned door-to-door campaign.
And that's one of the things that he has said to set himself apart, that he is of the old school, the going forth and the shaking hands and the kissing the babies kind of thing. That's the type of groundwork that Andre Jacques is doing.
Lisa, give us the lay of the land. Somebody who really is in the community up there, because my dad and stepmom live in Shawnee. I spent quite a bit of time up in the 8th, that part of the 8th Congressional District. Shawnee, very, very red. I've been up there. I mean, these ads by Roger Roth are just so hard line. You think that Green Bay was on the border of Mexico with the anti-immigration talk. Then you got Andre Jacques, which you said, Terry, this guy has a TV ad being Andre the Giant, a professional wrestler. I mean, you compare that to Kristen Lierley, I'll use the word, the Republicans in this race just seem weird.
Well, I don't know about calling them weird. I do know that they're trying to differentiate themselves among the Republicans, which is hard because all three of them are very conservative and have, you know, very strong opinions on the conservative side. And I think that they're trying to differentiate themselves between themselves right now. They'll take on Kristen after this primary.
Thank you very much, Elisa. Maurice Shepard, any reflections on the 8th U.S. House Republican primary?
Just a quick comment on Todd's comment about the ads that are running. I think across the board, we're seeing, particularly in terms of conservative or Republican candidates, they're using fear. It's a tried and true, once again, strategy to use in terms of campaigning. It works, but it may be exhausting to many voters, to many, even, again, moderate Republicans. So we will see how that works.
We want to bring James Kelly in now. He's following the 3rd District Democratic primary, and that has been notable for mainly the rhetoric that has really turned up between the two frontrunners on the Democratic side. James.
Yeah, definitely interesting. You know, this is a competitive primary in line for a competitive general election against Congressman Derek Van Orden, who a lot of people around here say his seat isn't particularly safe. So really between Rebecca Cook and Katrina Shankland, that's been most of the back and forth as far as who's raising more money, where that money is coming from. Shankland leaning on her experience in the state legislature and the bipartisan work that she's done there. I actually do have a bit of extra news.
Okay, you know, and hold that thought. Now. We will come right back to you, James. We have to do some business and we'll be right back. Election Night coverage continues on your Civic Media radio station and online at civicmedia.us. Welcome back to Civic Media primary election night coverage of Wisconsin's fall primary. Just to get you up to date with 17% of the votes counted, we have the no leading yes on the constitutional amendment questions. We'll have more with Melissa Kay in a bit, but we're talking right now to James Kelly. He's based in Chippewa Falls, and he's following the 3rd District Democratic primary. And James, you had a couple of interesting new items to pass along.
Yeah, I know earlier in the show we mentioned we wanted to keep an eye on election administration. Here in Eau Claire on the north side, apparently they ran out of paper ballots at some polling locations. So now voters who are in line have kind of been reduced to using just the one electronic machine that they have at this polling place in particular. So a little bit of a mishap there. And we spoke earlier in the 74th Assembly District about the town of Summit, which had the incorrect Assembly District on the ballot in the town of Summit. So that was 700 registered voters who were not able to vote. And we'll have to figure out, you know, where we're going to go with that in the near future. We do have some results from the 3rd Congressional District. Right now, Rebecca Cook with an over 50% lead, Katrina Shankland trailing at 38%, and Eric Wilson at 9%. That's 14% of the precincts reporting in so far.
Terry, to pick up on that, James, I'm looking at the results here on my computer. This is very interesting. Right now, La Crosse County, the two biggest municipalities, of course, in the third are Eau Claire and La Crosse. La Crosse County with 99% of the vote in. So essentially, the voting is votes been counted in La Crosse County, and Rebecca Cook is leading to Katrina Shankland 49% to 41.7%. Cook got 6,104 votes in La Crosse County. Shankland, 5,191. Eric Wilson had 9.3% of the votes. So there's not a lot of votes to get, obviously, in La Crosse, and Cook has won there. Then you go up to Eau Claire County, 78%. 78% of the vote in Eau Claire County right now in the 3rd Congressional District Democratic primary. Rebecca Cook, 57.6% to Shankland, 32.6%. Cook's beating Shankland over 2-1 in Eau Claire County. Now, look, Katrina Shanklin represents Stevens Point area in the assembly. She gave up that seat to run for Congress. Portage County, we don't have anything in, Terry and James, from Shanklin's own congressional district. But I know that district pretty well, having been born and raised there. If Cook is winning that big in Eau Claire and there's not many more votes to get in La Crosse County, Shanklin's going to have to absolutely clean up the rest of the way if she has any chance to.
Yeah, we may see a projection here before too long. One thing that was interesting to me, Maurice Shepard, is that you had Rebecca Cook, who's basically been spending 2 years campaigning and raising a lot of money, where you have Katrina Shanklin, who got into the race relatively late, but seemed to have the party machinery behind her and the kind of operations, that kind of support that usually gets out the vote for candidates that get that kind of support.
Yeah, I think Rebecca Cook is showing that sort of the old style politics, they call it in the literature, home style, you know, getting out there, talking to people and not relying on, and even though you may need it, sort of that organizational, once again, money and support, but, you know, nothing really beats getting out there and talking to the voter. So again, once the election is done and we count the ballots and that sort, we, you know, we can do sort of an autopsy sort of afterward. But I'm just assuming that is part of Cook's plan for success tonight, that she was able to get out there and just meet with voters.
James Kelly, you joined us up in Eau Claire. We were up there last week when Vice President Harris and Governor Tim Walz of Minnesota had their big rally just north of Eau Claire there. And we talked about this a little bit last week. And to Maurice's point, how big has this healthcare crisis, losing a major hospital in Eau Claire, has Rebecca Cook been a part of trying to find a solution? Has she been visible of that? Has she taken, I don't want to say the opportunity, but has she taken the opportunity to make political hay with this?
You know, I think all three of them have, really. There is really no bigger issue facing the Eau Claire area right now than access to healthcare because of the loss of the two hospitals. And all three candidates have really leaned into that. And really, Eric Wilson, especially as a guy who comes from the healthcare field, has worked in that field, has really leaned into that as part of his campaign. As far as voting goes, it seems like his expertise in healthcare is not going to really do much for him. But all three have really been big on access to affordable health care. And that's a major topic for people out here in Eau Claire right now, as is affordable housing and PFAS contamination. There's a lot of problems out here right now that need fixing. And all three of the candidates have been pretty unified in how they want to go about fixing it.
Update just very quickly, Terry Bell. 84% of the vote now in Eau Claire County has been counted. Cook leading Shanklin 57% to 33%. District-wide, Cook is up 53% to 37% with 40% of the overall vote counted so far in the 3rd District Congressional primary for Democrats.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Todd, and thank you, James. Let's bring Stuart J. Waddles into the conversation. He is based in Racine, and he's keeping an eye on some particularly interesting assembly races. These are identified by our friends at Wisconsin Watches. Four races to watch, and Stuart's keeping an eye on those. Stuart? We can't. Having some trouble
hearing
you, Stuart.
It looks like Stuart is muted.
You could unmute yourself, Stuart.
All the preparation in the world, right, guys?
Live radio.
I was going to run through these numerically, but we got some numbers coming in on the 24th, so we'll start there. This is the Germantown Menominee Falls area, and it includes a name a lot of people in politics know about, Janelle Branchen. She's up against State Senator Dan Knodel. Now, we got 41% of the vote in, Knodel up 58 to 42 at this point. So these two previously went at it in previous elections. And again, Branchen, a name that most politicos will know in the state. There are some other numbers, but we'll keep it to the interesting ones that we don't have numbers in yet, but the ones that we're watching. The 6th Assembly District is in Shawano. Two incumbents running there. There's been some redistricting changes. Solidly Republican area, Representative Peter Schmidt is in a primary against Elijah Behnke, also a representative. An interesting one in Milwaukee, the 19th Assembly District. The winner here is likely to like win that race come November because it's a Democratic stronghold. Incumbent Representative Ryan Clancy is facing a Democratic primary challenge from Jared Anderson. Again, kind of spicy, got two Democrats going at it right there. And then we talked about the 24th. I don't see new numbers there yet. The fourth of the ones that we're looking at are the 78th is in Madison. Representative Sheila Stubbs is being challenged by a Madison School Board Vice President, Maya Peterson. So that's one we're looking at. I do have some other numbers in, and I think, you know, and I'm trying to scroll down here. I think the race that Bob Donovan was involved with has been called by the AP, but I'm trying to pull that one up right now. Also, some numbers coming in out of the 65th District in Kenosha. Todd Onstad has a pretty good lead. Todd Onstad has retired. He hung it up. Benda Smith has a pretty sizable lead over Kyle Flood at the moment. The 82nd Assembly District has some numbers coming in. Riley up over D'Amico, 25%. So some of those Waukesha numbers are coming in. And I want to say 61st. It looks like the AP with 66% of the vote in is calling Bob Donovan winning that seat against Martin Gomez. He'll go up against Luann Byrd in November. So some numbers coming in, the assembly races. Again, we got the four big ones are watching, but again, these numbers are coming in, and like you guys let off the show with, it's an exciting night here at Civic Media.
Stuart, I really love this race. I mean, I shouldn't say I love it. I mean, as a person, as a creature of politics, I just find it fascinating, this race that you highlighted. Again, I spent a lot of time in Shawano County in the 6th Assembly District there. So you got Peter Schmidt of Bondwell. This is like a little contentious guy, as you said, because he only won the primary by 63 votes. The Republican Party of Shawano County basically withdrew their support after he had a 2019 criminal conviction, and this has been a big hubbub up there, and there are full-page ads in the Shawano Evening Leader, colored photo ads against this guy and for Elijah Behnke. This is a barn burner up there between kind of the base of the Republican Party and this guy who kind of snuck through. Any sense on what's going to happen tonight?
I don't, but you did mention the conviction, but there is a little more of a salacious nature to kind of some of the Schmidt's background and what you read up about what's happened there. And it, again, very interesting to see the redistricting kind of having this impact about putting the two Republicans up against each other. There are a couple of these other races where you have two incumbents going up. I believe there's two in the Milwaukee area, and I don't have it in front of me. But, yeah, it's interesting to see these two incumbents going up against each other.
I find it interesting. I heard a couple of names, people of characters, you might say, figures who have kind of alienated some of their own base. Janelle Branchon, it would seem Janelle Branchon and Dan Knodel are running, you know, for a battle for the right in their race. Janelle Branchon is somebody who, you know, with her election denialism and with her conspiracy theories, has turned off, you know, even, you know, strong Republicans who kicked her out of the caucus. So it's interesting to see her fighting. And Sheila Stubbs in Madison has been someone, she lost an appointment in Dane County because of a lack of support from her fellow county board members.
Just a quick update on election results. Our old Luke Mathers working the election desk behind the scenes, giving us this from Daniel Bice from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel tonight. Now it's 78% of the vote in, and you talked about this, Stuart, this race with Representative Ryan Clancy was 78% of the vote in, Clancy up 58% to 42 over Anderson. That does not, according to Bice's reporting, include absentee ballots. So could Ryan Clancy, who has been on the left-hand side on this in terms of issues, the Democratic Party of Wisconsin has recruited this guy. They've kind of gone against one of their own. He hasn't been real popular. Tonight, with 78% of the vote in, Clancy looking pretty good.
Maurice Shepard, yeah. So go ahead, Stuart.
No, go ahead, please. No, I didn't have anything that interesting.
I thought it probably would have been, but I was interested in knowing Maurice Shepard's thoughts on the fact that we are now setting the table for races in November. Democrats with these new maps, they want to make some gains in the state house. And some Democrats have even gone as far to say that they could even take the majority in the assembly this fall, even though other observers say that will probably take longer. How do you see things shaping up tonight heading into November, and what could happen after that?
Yeah, I agree with the sentiment that, you know, we have to crawl before we walk, walk before we run. So I think this is the beginning of having, I think, fair elections in Wisconsin. The new maps, I think, have once again leveled the playing field. They've created election districts that are more, once again, in line with the standards of good election districts, contiguous, compact. They don't split, once again, political units and that sort. So it has leveled the playing field. And the other thing, too, is it will prevent, I think, in the near future, at least, super majorities in either chamber of the state legislature. So Republicans have been able to sort of have that recently. And I think with the new maps, it will prevent that.
Very good. We want to bring Savannah Tomei Olson into the conversation. Dane County is Wisconsin's fastest growing county, and there is a primary tonight to pick two people who will go on to the November election to be the next Dane County executive, and it's going to be one of the most important elected jobs in all of Wisconsin. Savannah, welcome to the show.
Well, to borrow a phrase from Todd earlier, these are a couple of the ones that are for all the marbles tonight, where there's no Republican who's running in November, and one of them is really fun right now. We're talking about the 47th Assembly District. Randy Udell is a Dane County board member, and Joe Maldonado is a Fitchburg alder. We have 65% of precincts reporting, and they are 50-50 right now. Totally even. How often do you hear that?
Not often at all.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to watch, especially when we have that many of the precincts reporting too. Another one for all the marbles is the 77th Assembly District. This was really heavily redrawn under our new maps. Renuka Mayadev, who works in the UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health, is currently leading with about 54% of the vote. And the challenger who's coming in second is Thad Schumacher, who's a pharmacist who owns Fitchburg Family Pharmacy. So we have two people really heavily involved in healthcare. They're really in the top two spots. But I would say the big one that everybody in Dane County is watching is for Dane County Executive, simply because, at least in this area, the executive holds even more power than the mayor does. Our county is really... our county really has a big role in operations, but we'll talk about that in a bit.
Absolutely. The music tells us it's time to do some business. Savannah, if you can stick with us, we'll have you join us right after the break. You're listening to Primary Election Night coverage on Civic Media. Civic Media Primary Election Night coverage continues. Todd Abba, you have some numbers coming in.
Interesting race tonight. We haven't got a lot to the state Senate yet. We will, I know. But in the 20th Senate District on the eastern side of the state over on Sheboygan in that area, there's been a five-alarm bell fire politically. That's what J.R. Ross at WisPolitics called it. Well, tonight, Terry, it looks like everything's just fine. As it turns out, State Senator Dan Fine, Republican of Fond du Lac, who is the assistant majority leader, has a contest against Tim Rantham, kind of the right-wing mega guy who was in the assembly, who got his old assembly district got drawn into this new Senate district. But tonight, J.R. Ross reporting that with 28% of the vote in, it is Fine up 68.2%. to Rampton, 31.8%. Still a ways to go. Only 28% of the vote in. But if that continues, it looks like Devin Lemieux may not have to worry about a vote for his majority leadership.
And in a result that will surprise nobody, Eric Hovde has been declared the winner of the Republican U.S. Senate primary. He had some nominal competition for that job, but it was a race that he got into relatively late. Some minor candidates stepped in. There was a long time where there was speculation that Tammy Baldwin might not even face major opposition. But now we have Eric Hovde, who's very well financed and looks to be the nominee for the Republicans in the U.S. Senate race.
One very quick other update on election results, Terry. We do now have some more election results in the third congressional Democratic primary with 45% of the overall vote in. Rebecca Cook now leads Katrina Shankland 53% to 37%. Eric Wilson has 9.7%. But good news for Shankland, as Wood County, which is in, or at least partly in her assembly district, just over 3% of the vote in Wood County, but Shankland leads that 61.9% to 34.5%.
Okay, we want to bring Savannah Tomei Olson back into the conversation. We're talking about the race for Dane County Executive and how important that job is now with Dane County growing in population. And it's always had a lot of status among Wisconsin counties, but it is really, becoming a huge population center.
It really is. And I think more than anything, Joe Parisi has really left a legacy for Dane County. This is somebody who was kind of, for a lot of the time in office, was kind of sitting in the background getting stuff done. And every time leading up to his retirement, I would talk to staffers or people in other county offices. That was the sentiment that they had, that this is somebody who knows how to do things and doesn't have to be flashy or even overly political about a lot of it, just wants to actually do the work to make life better for people in Dane County. So that will easily be something that the candidate who wins will need to focus on. How do we make life better, especially as it grows? And we have challenges as it grows, for sure. How can we do that for Dane County? So, alphabetical order, we have Melissa Agard, who just gave up her seat in the Senate to run for this role. Dana Pelabon, she's the executive director of the Rape Crisis Center. Wes Sparkman is Dane County's director of equity and inclusion. And then Madison Alder, Regina Vitiver. And as of right now, Melissa Agard is up in that race. And that's honestly unsurprising, simply because of the fact that she has the most name recognition here in Madison and throughout Dane County, and just she has held the highest office of all of those, of all the four candidates. I saw a headline the other day that said it's a four candidate race, but can Melissa Agard be stopped? So that'll be the interesting thing to watch tonight. Especially, I'm curious who comes in second, to be honest.
Well, that's it. The top two vote-getters move on, so it might be a race for second place to go ahead with that November election. Todd Alba.
Real quick election results from the results desk here at Civic Media tonight on primary election night. Matt Smith from WISN Channel 12 in Milwaukee reporting with 48% of Wisconsin's 24th Assembly District. Terry, you touched on this earlier. The Trump-endorsed candidate, Janelle Brandegen, trails Dan Knodel, but it's close. 59 to 41%. So Knodel leading Brandegen 59 to 41% with about half of the votes counted thus far in the 24th Assembly District.
Very good. We are keeping track of some other races, too. If we could bring Joanne Krulatz in from the Driftless Region, Southwest Wisconsin and Richland Center. Joanne, welcome to the program.
I think, Joanne, your mic is muted, if I'm looking correctly there. We need to unmute you, and then we can hear you. Well, we'll work on that
okay.
a little bit here.
Melissa Kay might have some numbers for us.
All right, there I am.
Hi, Joanne.
Hi, sorry about that. The
40,
I'm covering the 40th Assembly District, which is... central Wisconsin covers northern Columbia County and eastern and southern Sauk counties. And there's three Democrats running, and that's Karen DeSanto of Baraboo, and she leads with 57% of the vote. Kyle Kunicki of Merrimack has 27%, and Brad Cook of Partyville trails with 15%. And the district actually is 55% Democratic. So, and then the 96th Assembly District, which is represented by Lauren Oldenburg of Viroqua, who's a Republican, he's running unopposed. And the 96th Assembly covers Western Wisconsin, and it comprises all of Vernon County and part of Southwest La Crosse County. And in the primary, there are two Democrats facing off. One is former La Crosse County Board Chair Tara Johnson of Shelby. She currently leads with 44% of precincts in, 81% to Steve Campbell of Viroqua's 19%. Both candidates support legalization of marijuana and Evers vetoes of GOP efforts to reduce or eliminate diversity, equity, and inclusion positions in state government.
Thank you very much, Joanne. We'll check with you in a bit. Melissa Kay, do you have some new numbers for us on the constitutional amendment question?
You know, Terry, this is actually really encouraging. We're at 47% of the votes counted, according to AP, and 59.4% are voting no. Wisconsinites are speaking out against the imbalance of power that the legislature is trying to seize here. They responded well to the mailings that went out to said, we want checks and balances in our Constitution. And that's encouraging.
Thank you, Melissa. As we're getting closer to the top of the hour. Todd Aubaugh, do you have any results to share with us?
I'm just kind of refreshing this again. It's looking like my different sources I'm following tonight. It appears that it's not officially been called yet, but they're saying that it looks pretty good for Clancy, that more progressive candidate down there in the Democratic primary in Southeast Wisconsin. That would be a loss for the Democratic Party because they came out against the challenger.
Okay, very good. Civic Media primary election night coverage continues on your Civic Media radio station and at civicmedia.us.